Hi, it's Robin Hilton from NPR's All Songs Considered. What if MacGyver worked at NPR? Well, he kind of does. Check out the How to Do Everything podcast with Mike and Ian. When you need to know how to find a date or find water in the desert, Mike and Ian are there for you. How to Do Everything is modern life lessons from NPR. Find How to Do Everything now at itunes.com/NPR.
All right, Bob, come over here and sit on my lap. Let's do this show.
Oh, that's so creepy.
We're doing a Valentine's Day show, romantic songs. I thought you should come over here and sit on my lap or sit next to me for us to record it.
All right.
Now, that look on your face says no, but I know your heart says yes.
All right, hang on a second.
Oh,
okay, the whole show like this. Here we go.
I can't breathe.
What is, Mr. Hilton, what is your ideal romantic song? That's what we asked everybody last week. Thousands upon thousands and thousands of people. We asked for their age, male or female, and the artist, and a song, if they could think of an actual song. And most people did.
I guess we wanted to see if the age you were when you discovered the song, perhaps, or when the song came out, and how old you were, you know, whether or not there was any connection.
What do you want to do here? You want to go over the 10 most loved and maybe throw in a few of our own and some odds and ends?
Yeah, do you want to like count down?
Oh, sure. Let's drama here.
Okay. Are we going to do it backwards, though?
Sure.
Because if we'd start at 10 and work our way back to 1, then...
That's what I mean. That's backwards.
I thought
you were
about to
ask people. I'm getting off your lap. I can't think anymore.
I'm sorry. Is it hot in here? Woo.
All right, so you want to do number 10?
Okay, but if we're going to do the top 10, then we have to do top 11, because there's one of my all-time favorite songs just missed being in the top 10. Yeah, just throw all that out. Death Cab for Cutie came in at 11, a band that has many beautiful songs, romantic songs, and the song that people picked most by them was one called I Will Follow You Into the Dark. From their 2006 album Plans, that song, I cannot tell you how many times I have wept to that song, especially that year. Well, that was a very pivotal year for me, and we'll talk about more of that later as we work through here. This is one of my favorites and one of the favorites of our listeners, too.
Someday you will die, but I'll be close behind. They'll follow you into the dark, no blinding light or tunnels to gates of white. Just our hands clasped so tight, waiting for the hint of a spark. If heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, illuminate the nose on their vacancy signs. If there's no one beside you when your soul embarks, then I'll follow you into the dark. In Catholic school, as vicious as Roman rule, I got my knuckles bruised by a lady in black, and I held my tongue as she told me, son, fear is the heart of love. So I never went back. And if heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, illuminate the nose on their vacancy signs. If there's no one beside you when your soul embarks, then I'll follow you into the dark. You and me have seen everything to see, from Bangkok to Calgary, and the soles of your shoes are all worn down. The time for sleep is now, but it's nothing to cry about, 'cause we'll hold each other soon in the blackest of rooms.
Okay.
And if heaven and hell decide.
Don't cry, Mr. Hilton.
I'm trying not to. The part that just slays me in that song is the line we just heard. We've seen everything there is to see from Bangkok to Calgary. You know, and the soles of our shoes are all worn down. Oh, man. So when this song came out, I was going through a horrible breakup after 15 years with somebody. A 15-year relationship came to the end. And this song I took very metaphorically. I mean, I think it's pretty clear he means it literally here, our souls, you know, embark. But for me, it was a perfect soundtrack for what I was going through. And I can't tell you how many times I've wept openly to that song back then. And I'm having to think about baseball right now to not start crying again while talking about it.
Well, maybe we should go on
to
the
next. Let's just forget about the rest of the show.
Maybe we should do the next one then. Let's do La Vie en Rose. La Vie en Rose is a song Edith Piaf made famous, French singer, made famous in the late 40s. Again, I love this list because, well, we'll all see, but through the years we get songs from the 21st century and songs from way back in the 40s. Well, she had a big hit with it, and then Louis Armstrong a few years later did a version of it. I think Armstrong's version wound up in the movie WALL-E.
It might have.
I think that's probably why it's in popular culture. That was, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Let's play, they're both great. Let's play a little of each. Let's start with Edith Piaf because it's her song. And then we'll play what Louis did to it.
Des yeux qui font baisser les miens, un rire qui se perd sur sa bouche, voilà le portrait sans retouche de l'homme auquel j'appartiens. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, qu'il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours, que ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. C'est lui pour moi, moi pour lui dans la vie. Il me l'a dit, l'a juré pour la vie.
French really is the most romantic of all the languages.
Now you can get off my lap. Edith Piaf wrote that song. She wrote the words to that song, basically translates it as life through rose-colored glasses. Let's listen to a little bit of Louis Armstrong. There was another Louis who wrote the music to that, by the way. His name was Louis Guglielmi, or also known as Louis Guy. But not this Louis. This is Louis Armstrong, and his version is pretty amazing.
Magic spell you cast, this is La Vie en Rose. When you kiss me, heaven sighs, and though I close my eyes, I see La Vie en Rose. When you press me to your heart, and in a world apart, a world where roses bloom. And when you speak, angels sing from above. Everyday words seems to turn into love song. Give your heart and soul to me, and life will always bleed. La Vie en Rose.
Kiss to build a dream on.
No.
Very similar. You know, we talked about the ages of people who said that they like these songs. And if you look at the ages of everyone who picked this song, it's not like these
run
are
through
like war veterans. It's, you know, it's like 26, 19, 19, 20, 21, 23, 23, 24, 25. I mean, you know, it's
I'm going to say it's movies. I mean, movies, TV. I'm going to say that that's that defines for people a scene in a film. We'll find that through this.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I think it's also that these older songs, they resonate with a certain innocence that I think younger people, well, everybody. I mean, everyone is drawn to a sort of an innocent time when everything was simpler.
Like in WALL-E.
Yes, exactly. Yes. A post-apocalyptic
yes,
universe.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was number 10, Louis Armstrong's version, or Edith Piaf. And number 9 was not at all surprising for me to see on this list.
It's not. And we were remarking as this, the La Vie en Rose was playing, that this song by the Beatles was a very similar pace. It's maybe the same key. I don't know.
Tempo. Yeah, the song is called, the Beatles song is Something from Abbey Road from 1969.
Let's hear a little bit of it. And George Harrison, thank you.
How about I'll just hum the whole thing and do all the instruments.
Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover. Something I don't know.
It's kind of hard not to.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. So we'll make a playlist with a Spotify list or something that we'll put, and so you can listen to all these. There's a lot of good ones. I'm not going to lie. There's some cheese.
You know, that song, we were just thinking, I was commenting about how perfect the drums are in the song Something. And I remember McCartney saying that Sinatra had told him that Something was his favorite Lennon-McCartney song, even though, of course, it was not a Lennon-McCartney song at all. George Harrison.
Lovely. So we're talking about love songs. We're talking about the songs that, for you, define what a romantic song.
We're counting down the top 10 most romantic songs as selected by NPR's listeners.
Number 8. Number 8 is Fade Into You. It's by Mazzy Star.
From the record So Tonight That I Might See, came out in 1994.
And the age range, real quick? What are you seeing? You seeing 30-year-olds?
A second, let me get it, pull it up here. A lot of 30-somethings here, some 40-somethings. Yeah, actually, I would actually say that the people who love this song overall are older than the people who love the Edith Piaf song.
I love breaking stereotypes. Let's listen to Fade Into You. That reminds me of George Harrison's
They're
guitar.
They're all the same song.
Silent Green is people. Hi.
Well, I mean, there are so many similarities and crossovers with all these songs. I wonder if someone's done a study to find out what the perfect tempo and key is for a love song, because a lot of these songs share a very similar pace, a very similar tone. All these songs are about aching for the things you can't have or regret for the things you lost. You know, you blew it some way. It feels to me...
You did.
It wasn't my fault. It was your fault. It's not me. It's you. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like so many of the love songs on this list are more about heartache than joy. It feels like people want to sing more about being lovesick than about any kind of happiness they're getting from their love.
Which was true of the 2,000-plus Tiny Desk concert contest videos I watched over the past weeks. We announced a winner Wednesday, by the way, of that contest. But there were a lot of songs, I'm going to just say a lot of dudes and guitars with songs about that one that got away or one that just was unattainable and
Well, speaking about people playing music by themselves and singing about love, we've got at number 7, Ben Folds with his song The Luckiest from his 2001 record, Rock in the Suburbs. This is a song that Ben Folds has said that it's pretty easy to roll your eyes at it, but it feels real to him. Let's give a listen to The Luckiest.
Don't get many things right the first time. In fact, I am told that a lot. Now I know all the wrong turns, the stumbles and falls brought me here. What if I'd been born 50 years before you, in a house on a street where you lived? Maybe I'd be outside as you passed on your bike. Would I know?
Bob, is there room in your life for schmaltz?
There's not really.
There is in my life.
Okay. I think we're going to get to one that somebody will call schmaltz, but when I like it, well, it's not schmaltz. And that's what schmaltz is. Right? There's a line in the song that is sometimes the way I think about the world and about life and its coincidences and things that happen. And then the line in the Luckiest song by Ben Folds says, "What if I'd been born 50 years before you in a house on a street where you lived? And maybe I'd be outside as you passed on your bike. Would I know?" And man, I'm okay with that. That's an amazing line, yeah. An amazing thought about time and life and how we intersect and things happen. And I just think that was beautiful.
Yeah, I have a decidedly unromantic view of love. When if anyone asks me, why do you think two people find each other? I say proximity. It's you happen to be here. Oh. And that's how we met. And that's why we are together. I could have taken a job that led me to another city, but I took this job, and that's how I found you, because, well, you were here. So now we're together. Proximity.
Wait a minute.
Number one reason people are together.
Hang on 1 second. I'm going to play something. Give me this. You know what I'm playing here, right?
A Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah. Look around the room. I can tell that you are the most beautiful girl in the room. In the whole wide room.
In the whole wide room.
Depending on the street.
You could make the top three.
Good looking girls on the street. Yeah. Depending on the street.
Well, that's the thing, you know. It's, you know, all these love songs are always delivered in hyperbole, and that's what I love about that song. You know, no, it's the truth. Like, you're very beautiful to me, but I mean, you happen to be here. I happen to be here. I'm looking around at everybody else, and you're it.
Oh my! Let's pick up the pace a little. The next song, number six song, is a song I always thought about as a comfort home song, and I've never thought of it as a love song per se. It is. Let's play This Must Be the Place, Naive Melody, Talking Heads.
Think of this as a romantic song. It was my go-to romantic jam when I was in high school.
Who was she?
She knows who she was. They all know who they were.
Did they know who you were, though?
Not a clue. Not a clue.
Yes, indeed. Fabulous. Talking Heads, This Must Be the Place.
That has been in many movies, from Wall Street in 1987 to 2007's Lars and the Real Girl. Many covers of this have done. Arcade Fire did a version. Kishibashi did a version. Undeniably great song.
Let's go to the next one in our list of love songs here. Unchained Melody.
Coming in at number five. Unchained Melody by the Righteous Brothers. Well, what? The Righteous Brothers version of Unchained
Melody. I had a friend who had a band called the Self-Righteous Brothers, which I thought was one of the best names for a band ever. But this was a great, great hit in 1965, produced by Phil Spector. Originally from a movie called Unchained, which was this prison film in the 50s that no one knew, and it wasn't much of a terribly big hit. The Righteous Brothers did a version of this. And anyway, the production on this song. Remember, we talked to John Congleton about mm-hmm. recognition, how you can recognize something just like that.
Yeah, this is one of them.
Whoa, my. Love. spin your love to me. Lonely rivers flow to the sea, to the open arms of the sea. Wait for me, wait for me. I'll be coming home. Wait for me.
I know something really funny. I can remember every single place that my 45 crackled when I hear this song.
What people don't know is that you're now sitting behind me and we are working a pottery wheel
you
together.
Weren't gonna say this.
Our hands entwined as the clay moves through our fingers. You probably have no idea what incredibly huge pop cultural reference I'm making there, do you?
I don't.
This song's popularity for the last 20-something years probably owes a lot to the 1990 movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, I don't see movies.
And Demi Moore. Yeah. It was a great movie, and it's an often spoofed scene in the last 25 years since that movie. God, 25 years since that movie came out. But anyway, that song featured very prominently in that film.
And the favorite line in that song for me is about time. Time goes so slowly, and time can do so much.
If you look at the age range, this one might have the broadest range. It goes from people in their early 20s all the way to people in their mid-70s for fans of this song who picked it.
Our next song is actually probably the least and most narrow age range of all. A lot of 21 and 3-year-old females like this next song.
Well, it's a current pop hit.
You know, in fact, this Ed Sheeran song?
Yeah.
Can we skip it?
No.
Oh, come on.
We're going to play this. It's Thinking Out Loud.
This hurts.
Oh, Bob, you can take a little bit of it.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheeks? Darling, I will.
Let's get it on. It's totally Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On.
I can't. Even if it were.
Oh, come on now. That's a great song.
I can't listen to Ed Sheeran.
People have often said that you could mash the two up perfectly. Sheeran himself has described it as a walking down the aisle song. And
walking down the aisle to the bank to collect money. No, sorry. You know, I don't usually
so jaded,
do that to
Bob.
People.
You're just such a black-hearted, jaded old... Oh, yeah. Ed Sheeran, Seeking Out Loud. The song came in at number 4 as the most popular, and God bless him. I have no problem seeing that song on this list.
We have a palate cleanser.
Yes, we do. These next two songs that we're going to play, number 3 and number 2, I actually expected them to be tied for number 1. And the first one coming in at number 3 was Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes. I knew that this song was really going to...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, hugely. This song, for my generation anyway, we can talk more about it when we come out of it. But this song figured very prominently in pop culture in the late
80s. Again, it's about movies and...
Well, it is, it's also undeniable. I think what often happens is with these songs get introduced to a wider audience because of the film. And if the song's any good, it lasts. And this song... Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes is, you know, almost 30 years old now, and young people are still discovering it.
So lost, so
I remember I was listening to this song and the rest of the records So when it came out in 1986, and then a few years later in 1989 when it was it appeared in the movie Say Anything. You know, it's this iconic moment, another movie you will never see, Bob, but you should, because it's a wonderful movie, Say Anything. It's just forever sealed in our pop culture consciousness is when Lloyd Dobler, the character, he's holding up his boombox outside the girl that he wants. He's standing outside her window in the morning, holding the boombox over his head and playing that song. Well, anyway, in 1989, when that came out, all my friends started listening to it and loving it, and I was the obnoxious jerk in the group of friends, like, that song's been out for 3 years. You know, now flash forward 30 years later and people are still discovering. You look at the ages, so, you know, people in their 20s and 30s. One interesting thing, and I'm not sure why, is that if you look at with the sex, it's mostly women who love this song. And I would think it would be at least evenly split. Unless it's like it's because of that Lloyd Dobler moment and all women really secretly want some guy to just stand outside their window and hold a boombox over his
That's
head.
Creepy.
And, that's not creepy. That's love. Peter Gabriel, number three. And then number two, Etta James, At Last. I thought for sure this would be the most picked song. And it came close. Etta James, At Last.
What is it that makes you think that? What brings Etta James, an artist, the oldest artist on our list? Well, maybe not Louis Armstrong would be, but close to the oldest artist. Why would you think that would be number two?
I guess I just know so many people who adore this song and who just swoon, literally just swoon when they hear it. It's sort of the quintessential love song. It's certainly been in a lot of films and TV shows over the years and many, many covers. I think maybe most recently probably it's Beyoncé's cover of the song that has probably introduced it.
At Obama's inauguration.
Right.
She sang that.
Right. And then a released version of the song as well that I think probably has reached a new audience. But I don't know. I think it is just, as I said, a quintessential love song.
At last, my love has come along. My lonely days are over. Was wrapped up in clover. The night I looked at you, and I found a dream that I could speak to, a dream that I can call my own. I found a thrill to press my cheek to, a thrill that I have never known. Oh yeah, yeah. You smile.
Listening to it now, I guess part of the appeal may be the fact that it's sort of it's a potent mix of both sex and romance. It's a very steamy, sultry song, but also very romantic. And I think that definitely resonates with people.
But again, I'll say this over and over until you agree with me, which is, I think it's definitely about films, and you sort of agree. You're saying that it's the song, and the reason the song is good, it's just that the film is the vehicle for people
sure,
to hear the song.
Sure, you usually reach a bigger audience.
And I think it's more than that. I think it's the combination, because people love visuals and music together, and I think it's a combination of A and B that make it much more potent. And it's not just the song that now many more people will hear because of the film, but I think it's that moment that happens in the film, just like you say, the quintessential moment where that boombox is being held up, or whatever it is in Rain Man that the song was in.
At last was in Rain Man. Yeah.
And American Pie and Northern Exposure. The moments that happen when picture and song are together make something completely different and sometimes more potent.
There are a lot of songs that have music videos, and the music video makes me like the song way more than I would if I just heard it on the radio.
So I think we're sort of agreeing, but I think I'm disagreeing with you.
Again,
you're wrong.
A big age range on this one, too. 16 is the youngest person who said that they love the song all the way up to 75.
We haven't played number one, and we're going to hold off.
I'll tease it by saying never in a million years would I have guessed that it would be the number one most romantic song.
No, it's not a bad choice, though.
Yeah, it's not a bad choice. It's a great choice, in fact. But do you have one?
Actually, I was trying to think of this. There's so many, but there's, I think for me, the romantic sort of love song, the love song that has this yearning to it, often are older songs. And I'm talking about songs before even I was born.
They had music back then?
They did. They used this little crank thing. And anyway, so I'm going to play Billie Holiday a song she did called You Go to My Head. And the words in this just absolutely slay me.
You go to my head and you linger like a haunting refrain, and I find you spinning round in my brain like the bubbles in a glass of champagne. You go to my head like a sip of sparkling burgundy brew, and I find the very mention of you like the kicker in a julep or two. The thrill of the thought that you might give a thought to my plea casts a spell over me. Still I say to myself, get a hold of yourself. Can't you see that it never can be? You go to my head with a smile that makes my temperature rise like a summer with a thousand Julys. You intoxicate my soul with your eyes. Though I'm certain that this heart of mine hasn't a ghost of a chance in this crazy romance. You go to my head.
Bob Boylan. My goodness.
Oh, yes. Spinning round in my brain like bubbles in a glass of champagne. And I like that notion that, this isn't a person that, like, is thinking, oh, this person should want me, or this is the best thing ever. This person just has these feelings for someone without even thinking there's even a chance it's going to be, but just can't help it. And that's what I love about that.
Well, you talk about lyrics, and for me, I've got a song too, and for me it's all about the lyrics, and it's actually couldn't be more different than what you just played. I'm just going to hit it, and then we can talk about it when we come out of it.
Thank you. told you things I did before, told you how I used to be. Would you go along with someone like me? If you knew my story word for word, had all of my history, would you go along with someone like me?
I did before.
So this is the song that my wife and I fell in love with together. It, you know, we both, when we started going out, we both had a tremendous amount of baggage. And this song for us was, we don't care. You know, like, if I told you everything about myself, would you still go out with me? And we didn't care about any of that. We didn't care what anyone else was saying or what people thought. All we cared about is just talking. And that's why I love that song, Talking With Each Other. When the line in this one, when he sings, all we care about is talking only me and you.
That's so sweet, man.
Yeah.
Well, the sentiment in this next song, which is the number one song, is not so dissimilar from that. Drum roll, please.
Yeah. And that said, would you have picked this out of the blue?
No,
if
no.
you just said, what do you think will be the number one song that people pick?
Right.
What would it be? It would not have been this. This is a great song.
It wouldn't have been Bright Eyes, right?
Would not have been Bright Eyes. The First Day of My Life is the song.
And the record, I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning, was a record that this came from. I was puzzled, happy, but I was puzzled as to why and how this song was number one, because it sort of blows most of my theories about movies. It's mm-hmm. not really, I can't think of one. I may stand corrected as to why the song First Day of My Life.
It's been in at least a couple movies, and it was on a TV show that was a popular TV show, Chuck. Okay. But that, I mean.
And the
I
age range here was like 16 to 70 or something crazy.
Yeah, it's
like
not,
that.
It's none of the things that I could find could account for how it could seep into popular consciousness.
So I wrote to Conor Oberst's publicist, Chloe, who knows Conor, you know, it's not just the business. They know each other. She's been working with Conor for years. She says, I get emails almost every day for the past 10 years from people telling me they walk down the aisle to their wedding, or the bride sang it to the groom, or it was their first dance. Whenever Conor tours, we get multiple requests for him to help propose to somebody from the stage as he plays it. It's so sweet. And I think that's it, when a song can really resonate with people that way, where you fall in love and it's the first day of your life, you feel.
Yeah, and it sort of blows out my theory of how so many of these songs really seem to be about heartache more than celebrating love itself and how happy you are because of it. Because this is just a very beautiful song with a beautiful sentiment, beautiful thoughts about the simple joy of love. And yeah, how your life begins really feels like it begins when you fall in love for the first time.
Good choice, All Songs audience. Nice work. Not cheesy. I was so scared of doing this show. So scared. Ed, Sharon, I'm really sorry. Just, I can't help it. But beyond that, I love the choices on this list. There's always got to be one. But one person's joy and wonder and cheese is another person's...
Walking Down the Aisle song.
Absolutely. So let's play First Day of My Life. Bright Eyes. We'll go out hugging.
Spooning.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. We have a Jimmy Page interview coming soon, too, so stand by for that. That was pretty cool. Another great love song.
That's a great love. You need schooling, Bob.
I ain't fooling. See you later.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks. For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered. Thank you.
first day of my life. Swear I was born right in the doorway. I went out in the rain, suddenly everything changed. They're spreading blankets on the beach. Yours is the first face that I saw. I think I was blind before I met you. And I don't know where I am, I don't know where I've been, but I know where I want to go. And so I thought I'd let you know. Yeah, these things take forever, I especially am slow. But I realized that I need you, and I wondered if I could come home. Remember the time you drove all night just to meet me in the morning? And I thought it was strange, you said everything changed. You felt as if you just woke up. And you said, this is the first day of my life. I'm glad I didn't die before I met you. But now I don't care, I could go anywhere with you, and I'd probably be happy. So if you wanna be with me, with these things there's no telling, we just have to wait and see. But I'd rather be working for a paycheck than waiting to win the lottery. Besides, maybe this time is different. I mean, I really think you like me.